So I don't think I gave you my name. My name's Devin. And Devin is spelled D-E-V-E-N, right? Just in case you want to write me a birthday card or something. Because I often get D-E-V-I-N, D-E-V-O-N, and sometimes if people are just terrible spellers, D-E-V-Y-N. But no, it's D-E-V-E-N. And the reason for that is not because my parents were artsy or creative. It was because they liked the name Devin and they never bothered to look it up. And my mom just said, well, seven is spelled S-E-V-E-N. So you change the S to a D, Devin. And it's pretty tight logic. But it's amazing how names in a Western culture or context, it's amazing how names in a Western context are generally selected based off of what sounds good, what parents like, and what has no negative connotation. Right? You hear parents like this all the time. Maybe you've experienced this. You're like, okay, honey, what are we going to name the baby? You know, and the wife's like, what about Susie? And you're like, no. I had a girlfriend named Susie once, and she cheated on me, and it broke my heart. It's like, okay, fine, no Susie. Okay. And then you're like, the wife's like, what about Stacy? Husband's like, no, Stacy beat me up on the bus every day from grade 6 to grade 11. And so I can't do Stacy. Let's just find a different name, something that works, and something that we can agree on. Right? What about you? Is there kind of any general significance to your name, or was it just popular at the time? Right? Yeah, we got all, I'm sure some of you had like big history. What's yours? But generally speaking, our names are usually based in the West on what we enjoy, what sounds good. Now, in the Bible, in biblical thinking, both Old Testament and New Testament, things are very different. There's a lot of significance in a name. For example, the word name is used something like 1,000 times in the Bible. God has a name. He creates man and he names him. Adam names the animals. Adam names his wife. The burning bush, right? Moses asks God, what is your name? In 1 Samuel, Hannah prays desperately for a son. And when God grants her wish, she names him Samuel, which means asked of by God. Names are significant because in the Bible, a name is more than a way to differentiate between two different people. A name had a lot of significance because it was essentially the essence or the personhood or the totality of who somebody was. Names were significant. And today we're looking at a passage in the book of Colossians where Paul, the apostle, is going to show us the significance of the name above all names. The significance of the name of Jesus and what that means for those of us who call ourselves his followers to go out and live and represent him, to carry that name with us and the difference that that makes in our lives. So if you have your Bibles, open them up to Colossians chapter 3. And I tell you what, if you don't have a Bible, make sure you grab one when you leave here. We have some available at the tables here, just out through here. Because generally speaking, what we do here at Summerside is we walk through books of the Bible. And that's why it's so important for you to take the time to have your Bible open. It's okay to mark up, to underline, and to highlight and write in the margins of God's Word. He's not offended by that, right? I'm not judging you if you have a phone. I'm just saying grab a Bible if you can, get familiar with it, and make those annotations and marks as you are able. Okay. Colossians chapter 3. Now, Colossians, if you don't know where it is, you can always look in the table of contents. It's about 95% of the way through the Bible. 95% of the way. This is a short little book written by the Apostle Paul. We've been walking through it. You can catch up on the podcast. But today we're going to begin reading in verse 12 and read to the end of verse 17. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Now, verse 17. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I'm going to read verse 17 again because that's our focus. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, right off the front end here, I love how Paul structures this verse, these sentences. He says, whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, and it's shorthand for the totality of your life. Paul is here being clear that being a follower of Jesus or being a Christian isn't simply a one day a week type thing. It's not that you show up on Sunday and you give God this 1 hour Sunday morning and you dress up and you look diligent and you study the Bible along with me and then you go away into your week and then the rest of the time is yours. Paul says, no, everything that you do, whether in word or in deed, 24/7. Every single day of the week. See, this division of God's time and my time, God's activities and my activities, the life that I live for God 1 hour a week and the rest of my time, Paul sees no separation between those two. No, he says everything that you do, whether in word or in deed, this refers to your words and your deeds on Sunday morning and your words and your deeds on Thursday. Your words and your deeds on Friday. Every single day of the week. There's no division here. There's nothing that Paul envisions that is not under the lordship of Christ. There is nothing in our life that Paul expects us or anticipates us to remove from the authority of Jesus. All of life under Christ. Everything that you do. Every word that you speak. Think about your jokes. Think about your snark, your criticism, your harshness, the way that you use your words, your actions, how you spend your time, how you deal with difficult people, how you handle fear and frustration. Everything under Christ. Whatever you do, whether it's the words that you speak or the actions that you take, and in the biblical thinking, underneath all of that is really what's going on in our heart day to day. Everything that we do as followers of Christ, if you would call yourself one, is to be lived under his authority. And what's fascinating in this passage is he says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. Think about that expression. Do it in the name of Jesus. He's not just saying do it for Jesus, or do it because of Jesus, or do it by Jesus, all of which are true. What does he say? Do it in the name of. And that's the heart of this short little verse. So what does it mean to do something in somebody's name? Well, clearly it means that you're going out as a representative. That your words and your actions are called to reflect the words and the actions that Jesus would have done himself and what he is calling us to do. We go out as representatives of Jesus, carrying his name. Representing his name as ambassadors to the king, reflecting his goodness, his grace, his gentleness, his compassion, his courage, representing that to those in our lives who do not yet know him. We do it all in the name of Jesus. And what a name it is. What a privilege and an honor. What a responsibility to carry his name with us. It's the name that's above all names. In Philippians chapter 2, the passage that Luke read earlier, we are told that there is no name above the name of Jesus. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. There is no one and there is no thing in all of creation, from the distant cosmos to the smallest atom, there is nothing that compares with the glory of the name of Jesus. There is no person or leader living alive today or dead from the past that can rival the incredible name of Jesus. There is no religious founder who has a name like Jesus. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Confucius. Jesus is the name that is above all names. And that is the name that we carry. That is the name that we represent as we go. Not only is it the name above all names, it is the only name that can save. You are not saved by being better than your neighbors, by being more moral than the people that you hang around with. You are not saved because you try hard or you come to church or your parents are Christians or you were baptized once long ago. You are not saved by being religious, by saving the planet, by having the right views on politics. No, you are saved. The only way that we can be saved is through the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, we read this. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we can be saved. If you are trusting in anything apart from the name of Jesus for your salvation, you are being led astray. It is at the name of Jesus, the name above all names, and in that name alone that we can be saved. We are baptized into his name. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus gives the great commission to his disciples, right? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He goes on to say that we are called to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And here's the important thing that we need to understand about baptism. You are not baptized into a church as in I was baptized Baptist, or I was baptized Pentecostal, or I was baptized into a community church. You are baptized into the name of Father, Son, and Spirit. It is part of recognizing the name above all names, recognizing that he alone can save, and recognizing that Jesus calls us to follow him in baptism as his followers because we are representing his name. If you are a Christian and you are not yet baptized, come and talk to me. It is the name above all names. It's the only name that can save. It's the name in which we are baptized. It's the name in which we pray. Right? Oftentimes, Christians, we have this almost methodical approach to our prayers in that we conclude every prayer with the rote words, you know, in Jesus' name, amen. Right? And there's nothing wrong with that. Because the Bible calls us to pray in Jesus' name. But praying in Jesus' name is more than just adding this little tag on to the end of our prayers. It's a posture of our heart whereby we recognize that there is no other name by which we could even pray. There is no other name by which we can gain God's ear. There is no other foundation upon which we can approach God in all of his glory and all of his holiness apart from the name of Jesus. And to pray in Jesus' name means we pray with a recognition that because of his death on the cross, because of his resurrection from the dead, that he is our only hope. And so everything that we do, every ounce of courage that we have in pursuing God and kneeling before him in prayer comes because of Jesus and what he has accomplished. Not only is it the name above all names that we carry, not only is it the only name that can save, the name that we are baptized into, the name that we pray in, it is also the name in which we serve. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus says, listen, if you give even a cup of cold water in my name, that's not going to go unnoticed. This is a hard one for me. Oftentimes I serve and I think my deepest motivation is just to, I guess I should do the right thing. Or it would be kind of weird if I didn't do the right thing. I think people would probably notice. And I've had to wrestle through this and have instances where I'm called to serve, I don't really want to, and say, aha, wait a second. Rather than duty and drudgery and frustration at this opportunity of service, what if I viewed this as an opportunity to serve Jesus, to do it in his name, for him and through him, to represent him? And even that little mental switch can make a difference in my approach, and maybe it can make a difference in yours as well. It is the name above all names. It is the only name that can save. It is the name by which we are baptized. It's the name by which we pray. It's the name by which we serve. And this incredible and beautiful and glorious name is the name that you carry with you. So the natural question is, how are you doing with that? Your words, your actions, your heart, your thinking, everything that you do, if you are a Christian, a follower of Jesus, is called to be done in his name. Do you recognize that there are so many people in your life and in mine who have never read the Bible? There are so many people in the world today who have no idea that they are headed to hell apart from Christ. There are so many people in our world today who are broken and lost and hurting, who have no idea of the hope offered to them in Jesus and Jesus alone. And they've never met him. They've never heard of the good news. But they've met you. They know you. Every day, maybe at work, in class, at the sports activities you're involved in, you have an opportunity to represent Jesus and to do it well. Because there is nothing more tragic when, rather than representing the name of Jesus, we bring shame to the name of Jesus, or we misrepresent it. None of us needs to be told the way that oftentimes Christians are both portrayed in media or the way that Christians are perceived in just the general population. Some of that we have to own, sure. Some of that I think is an exaggeration, sure. But think about your words. Think about your actions. Think about those people in your life who do not yet know Jesus. Are you representing him well? If your words are constantly harsh and judgmental, if you're constantly talking about yourself rather than engaging with people, you're not representing his name well. Think about your actions, the things that you value, that you invest in, the way that you use your time and resources. Are you showing people, as a representative of Jesus, all that he has to offer and the difference that he makes in a life? You carry the name of Jesus with you. Are you representing him well? Do your words and deeds show people what Jesus is like? You see, when Jesus, God's perfect son, stepped into human history, he came revealing God himself to us because Jesus is God. I mean, this is really the heart and soul of Colossians chapter 1. He is the image of the invisible God. When you see Jesus, the guessing games about what God is like or his heart or his response to people who are hurting or who are broken, you can see that perfectly displayed in Jesus. Jesus comes revealing God to us because he himself is God in the flesh. And then Jesus lives a perfect life, the life that you could never live, that I could never live. Where we fail, Jesus succeeds. And then he goes to a cross and he is crucified. And there on the cross, he dies as a substitute for you and me. So the guilt, the shame, the condemnation that's on my shoulders, Jesus took upon himself there on the cross. And 3 days later, he is literally and physically raised from the dead, demonstrating that the sacrifice that he offered, that the payment for sins was completely accepted, and there was no more need for further judgment on all those who trust in Jesus. And what Jesus does is he teaches his disciples for a short period, and then he ascends to heaven, but then he sends the Spirit to indwell his people. Okay? Now track with me on this. Jesus comes revealing God to us. Jesus ascends, sends the Spirit to dwell in his people so that his people can then carry that mission forward. So that his people, you and I, called his body, can live our lives in such a way that we continue this mission of displaying the goodness, the grace, the beauty of God himself in the way that we live our lives. Whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Carry that name with you and represent him well. Now, I've been speaking primarily to Christians today, those who would call themselves followers of Christ, who through faith have claimed that name and have had his name placed upon them, who are his body, soul, and spirit. But maybe you're here today and you are not a Christian. And this name of Jesus, the name that is above all names, the only name that can save, the name in which we are baptized, the name in which we pray, the name in which we serve, the greatest and most beautiful name of all is nothing to you. And you use it as just a common cuss word. If that's you, I want to talk to you. First of all, I'm glad that you're here because at Summerside, we are perfectly okay with people exploring and investigating and asking the hard questions. So we're glad that you're here. But apart from the name of Jesus, there is no other way. So the option before you is to know his name as Judge or to know his name as Savior. To know his name as the one who stands against you and opposed to you because of your sin, or to know his name as Father, as Friend. The good news of the gospel is that despite all of your sin, all of my sin, all of your shortcomings and all of my shortcomings, despite all of our shame and inadequacies and failures, we can be forgiven. You can be forgiven because of this great name. In Romans chapter 10, Paul says this: Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that salvation through that great name, the name above all names, that salvation is available to you if you will call on him to save you. Recognizing that there is nothing that you can do to earn salvation, that Jesus has already accomplished it, and all you're doing is holding on to him as he holds on to you. Recognize your need of a Savior, your sin against a holy and righteous God. Recognize the fact that you deserve judgment and hell, but God in grace has offered a way, and call on him to save you. Jesus died on the cross so that you would not have to experience hell. Jesus rose from the dead so that you could experience life. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So if you don't yet know Jesus, call on him today to save you. Talk to me. Talk to one of our elders after the service. Because there is no name above Jesus. There is nothing greater that you can find your hope and identity in. Call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Let me pray to that end. Father, I confess The number of times in my flesh, in my fear, and in my selfishness that I have not represented your name well. And I repent of that and ask for your spirit and your strength to grow in this area. And God, there are people here in this room, right here and right now, who have people in their life who know that they are a Christian. And they have an opportunity this week with their words and their deeds to honor and glorify and to represent the name of Jesus. Would you help your people to do that well? May we as a church be characterized by carrying the name of Jesus, by being his ambassador, by representing him and doing that with humility and authenticity. God, for those who are here and who don't know you yet, who haven't yet called on your name, will you work in our hearts? God, will you open their eyes to salvation, to trust in the name of Jesus? And God, all that we do here today, all of the joy that we have in worship, all of the desire that we have to see your name glorified and praised, all of it is done through the name of Jesus. So we ask this in his name. Amen.